Please be seated. So I love the Feast of Epiphany. In previous iterations of parish life, we used to have an Epiphany party, sometimes just among clergy, sometimes with the parish itself, and everyone got to dress in drag for the day, because, you know, we all had to dress up as the kings, and it was just so much fun. We had a great time. So some of why I love this feast is it's the beginning of a new year, and there's a kind of natural confluence of themes. I know that winter is just starting, but I always feel like it's time to take my problems by the scruff of the neck and say, quit misbehaving. There's good things afoot. There's wonderful, unique, and beautiful reasons to live and live well. And I feel that at the beginning of every calendar year, maybe it's just that all the fuss of Christmas is finally in the rearview mirror. But I think that it has something to do with the themes of Epiphany itself. A bit of just a brief backstory. In the early church, the first 250 years or so, 300 years maybe, it was this celebration, which means manifestation, which simply was the celebration of Christ's beginning. It was the celebration of his birth, of his baptism, and the spreading of the light rolled all into one. Only by holding these things together, the early church believed, can we get a sense of what Emmanuel, God with us, peace on earth, goodwill towards all humankind, might mean in the real world. Most consequentially, of course, is that Christ is not just for Israel, but for the world, for a diverse world. Starting with these three astrologers, and I would love it if our translations would stop using wise men and just use magi, which has, of course, the implication that they are wise, but basically means magicians, as you might suspect, astrologers. Starting with these three, the message of God with us comes to be manifested in a particular way. And we have to remember, of course, that all religions, basically, believe that God is with us, that there is a God who is with the people who observe the rites and morals of a particular religion. So that in itself is not the absolutely new thing. But it's the way God is with us in Christ, this manifestation of a forgiving, healing, loving God that is so powerful. And it's the reason that Christ's message has spread to great swaths of the world. It has been understood and practiced, and when it has, great advances in human civilization have taken shape with all kinds of spin-offs. The belief that the universe can be rationally understood, we gain that from our Greek forebears, partly, but within the Christian worldview, it took on new significance and new urgency. That there is, and this is more important, a universal justice applicable to everyone really took off with the Christian message. No one is special because everyone is. Equally, though, maybe not equally, but it has been misunderstood and counterfeited by those with their own evil agendas. This manifestation, then, has fortified countries and civilizations and untold millions of people. And it has also poisoned not a few. God with us has happened, been partnered with, and reacted against. And all of this, all these iterations continue to this day. And that has some pretty big implications for you and I. I'm just going to note three to get us thinking and praying about our own lives and communities, but there's so many more. First, God's light finds a way to manifest across barriers, both external barriers in our world and internal barriers within us. The light and life that is in Christ, God with us, will find a way to reach across divides, illumine what is wrong, and draw us as a world and as individuals toward what is good and beautiful and true. This is what it means for astrologers from the East, ill-equipped, as the story tells us. I mean, they're not familiar with Jewish scripture, they're not Jewish, and they practice a form of spirituality which is condemned by those same scriptures, following stars, getting messages from the stars. To find themselves against all odds, depositing their gifts in the humble home of a toddler is an amazing testimony to the power of God's light. We learn the lesson if we take hope for all people in our world, for those close to us and those who hate us. God's light can bridge all divides. Because the light will manifest, there is hope for our world, especially when it feels in a dark place. We read last week about the slaying of the innocents for our gospel reading, and that is a paradigm that has never stopped. The innocent are slain again and again, all the time, every century. But the fact that God's light connects all searching souls with truth and with fresh courage to live into that truth is sometimes not commented on nearly as much as our prevalence towards violence. But both are true. I take hope that the revelation of God's light can be dimmed, but it can never be snuffed out. God has joined our journey, become one of us. That's what Christmas means. So take that close to your heart in 2026. Second thing is that Epiphany isn't a flash of light. It's a gradual dawning of light. Our first reading from the prophet Isaiah, which Matthew uses as a prophecy for the visit of these astrologers, was in original context the words of encouragement to Jews who'd newly arrived at a broken down post-exile Jerusalem. And they were no doubt in despair at the amount of work in front of them. Sometimes when we look out at our culture, we can think of the amount of work in front of us, and we can just be in despair. Or maybe just more prosaically, we just look at our lives, our work, the raising of our children, participating in a faith community, and it can all just at times feel like a burden. We're not sure we're going to live long enough to enjoy the benefits of our labors. In the face of that, Isaiah says that the promises made to this little nation of Israel are still foundational to God's worldwide hope for a new way of living together. It's precisely because it folds our work into the midst of all the broken down bits that our spiritual task and journey is so beautiful and so challenging. God builds a better world through us and with us, Even when different unhinged emperors, different Caligulas are on the throne, just doing whatever they want to do. Epiphany isn't one big light shining down from the ceiling, illuminating everything and everyone, whether they want it or not. It's like a series of table lamps, mood lamps, candles, some switched on, some lit, by people, by communities, so that the light of God isn't a glare, but the invitation of learning and cooperation. The journey of the Magi was, for all we know, slow and arduous after they saw that star. Across a desert, into danger, deposited in wonder, and then right back into danger. But a journey that changed their lives and gives us courage by virtue of theirs to have more insight into what Christ means for the world. And thirdly, Epiphany is the great feast of pluralism and diversity. The Magi needed Christ. They were not satisfied with their own worldview, their own magical astrology. They felt God calling them to open to other possibilities, to a less bounded understanding, to a more open-hearted love. Less commented on is that Christ needed the men of the East with their strange and different discernment. The Christian story needs the East. East needs the West. The North needs the South, and vice versa. Two things can be true at once. Christ is the image of the one true God, and God has created humankind, which in turn has created 7,000 cultures that presently exist, not to mention all of those that once existed. Human reality is like a great dynamic mosaic in which all the parts matter, and Christ is knitting them together. In Christ, we are led to see that binary thinking is wrong. Truth, wherever and in whomever we find it, is an ally, a friend, necessary for the beautiful, mysterious, and rich life that God with us implies. A boy lived in an isolated house on a hill. He felt it a God-forsaken place for a young man. But one thing fascinated him. Each night, he'd look out into the darkness and see a light. But this sign of life gave him hope. One day, he determined and decided that he needed to search for it. It was a long and lonely walk, and it was already dark before he reached the outskirts of the town. Tired and hungry, he knocked at the first door he came to and explained his search for the mysterious light that had always given him hope. "I know it," replied the woman who had answered the door. "It gives me hope as well." And she pointed back in the direction from which he had come. There on the horizon was a single light shining, a sign of life in the darkness, the light from his own house. Christ's light crosses all divides and beckons us on. It dawns with more clarity bit by bit as we journey towards holiness. But this journey isn't just one thing. We need all of our little lights to see the light. And when we glimpse this, we might be ready to believe Epiphany's greatest challenge. We, you, are already a manifestation of Christ. What might 2026 look like in our beloved community if we dare to believe that each of us has a part to play, a light to shine, a journey to join, and gifts to share? Amen.